Let's now turn our attention to the psalmist in Psalm 119. And I'll read a portion of this psalm, verses 17 through 24. Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. And this is, of course, His Word, and we are to listen and to learn and to love. Let's now hear God's precious Word from the psalmist. Psalm 119, beginning verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. May God bless this portion of his word to our hearts and minds. Lord Jesus, there is a great supper here in these several verses. So rich are they. May they become more rich as a result of thy worship before thee, as a result of the reading and hearing upon your word. Again, we pray, Lord Jesus, with thankfulness, be with us and all the more through your holy word. In your name we ask it. Amen. Well, this is an outstanding psalm. It's, of course, as you know, the longest in the Psalter. It's probably the longest chapter, if you will, in the Bible. The way the psalmist starts off here, of course, the prayer, it's a prayer throughout. And he prays and asks the Lord to deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Now, the word servant is used about 13 times in this psalm. And so the emphasis in this psalm throughout is that the psalmist is declaring himself, sees himself as a servant. And that is right there. That is advice and counsel for all of us. That we don't serve ourselves. We don't serve really anyone from a spiritual point of view, and even from a practical point of view daily, our service is to the Lord. And we are to see ourselves as servant friends of God. Yes, we are the friends of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most Holy and Most High. But we are to consider ourselves at all times also to be servants. We serve God, not ourselves, our best interest, other men, women. Ultimately, firstly, we are to serve God. And I think by nature we often forget this. We get caught up in the error of the day and in the moment. For whatever reason, we think it's a reason, And we forget or put aside these kind of ideas or thoughts that we should have throughout the day, that I'm a servant of Jehovah. I'm his child, I'm his son, I'm his daughter, but I'm a servant. How shall I serve thee today? And so it is important for us to consider this prayer of the psalmist with using a word that is used about 13 times throughout the psalm. And obviously it's important, or else he wouldn't keep on repeating himself, calling himself that. Remember, repetition is a good thing. If it's a good repetition. If it's a bad one, it's not, right? We form good habits by repetition. And we memorize things by repetition. We do many things that through repetition that's valuable. But we also sin through repetition. We repeat them over and over again. And that is not valuable. It hinders us. And I think we all get hindered. But this will help us to consider ourselves as servants. Servant friends, because we're in the covenant of God, but servants nonetheless. And to pray for grace, more grace, that we may see things this way and act this way, act accordingly, rather than according to our own heart's desire, which is duplicit at times. I'm not talking about the spiritual heart, the new heart that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about our old nature. That's still there, right? Isn't it? Is it a good nature? Or a not good nature? Why do we listen to it more than the new nature? One reason is we don't expose ourselves to the Word, to prayer, to worship, to devotion enough. But then we're going to forget it. Because the emphasis of the day is all on this place, everywhere. So if you're not in the Word and in prayer and exposing yourself to it, you're being exposed to the world. And your old nature loves that. Feels at home. Yeah, I feel that too. My daughter once asked me a question. What's the purpose of life? Now, generally speaking, fundamentally, the purpose of life is to live. All things that are alive want to live. They want to die. They want to give up. They want to live. Everything that's alive wants to live and wants to express its life in the way that it is built. But more deeply, why do I want to live? As a Christian, why do I want to live? Someone asked you that. Why do you want to live? You are a Christian. Why do you want to live? Well, it's against the commandment that we're not supposed to take our own. That's not a good reason. That's not what we should say. It's true, it is against the commandment. We don't take our own life. We don't take any life unnecessarily. We don't take our own life, for sure. But that's not what the psalmist is saying here or praying, is it? Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. You notice that? I want to live. I don't want to gain something through keeping your word so that I gain life. No, no. I want to live life to keep your word. That's why I want to live. To keep your word, Lord. Do you see how in love the psalmist is with God and his word? I want to live because I want to get a big house and a new car, and I want to be liked and respected by a whole lot of people. I want my name in the paper as an entrepreneur or as a some sort of philanthropist. Or I want a good reputation. I want to live for my reputation. No. I want to live, Lord, so that I can keep your word. I want you to deal bountifully with me. You know, give me that abundant life so that I can keep your word. That's the prayer here. That's the emphasis. That's something that we can easily overlook. I know that when I say this, it resonates with you, of course, right? But you know, do you think like that? The purpose of my life, the reason why I pray to get better, the reason why I want to be strong, Lord, that I want to live and serve you with enthusiasm, that I want to be here is to serve your word. To declare your word, to keep your word. That's why I want to live. That's my main motivation in life. If you're going to give me strength for the day so that I don't have to suffer, so be that. No big deal. Don't do that, Lord. I want to be strong so that I can keep your word. That's why I live. I don't care if I get sick and die. But I do if I want to keep your word. Not for me. Who am I? There's billions of people to replace me. I want the abundant life to keep your word. So that is the first thing that we need to hear. Apart from being a servant now, or in addition to being a servant, the servant of God, I want to live to serve you according to your word. Now, what's so important about the word, right? Why is it number one? Why is it my motivation, my main motivation to live? Why I want to live? Because if I'm not going to serve you, Lord, and I'm not going to serve according to your word, and I'm not going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then I don't really want to live. I mean, yeah, by nature, that if you want to call instinct of self-preservation, sure, I want to live that like every other living thing wants to live. But it's not important. It's not important enough for me to say I have accomplished this or gotten that, or I have enough money in the bank so that I can retire, or that I can do this. That's not important. That's insignificant. That is selfish. That is disgusting. I don't want to live for that reason. Take me out of this place, Lord. I don't want to live to complain every single day about everyone else. Or to get my way. I want to live to serve you in keeping your word. And your word reveals who you are. It reveals how we ought to live, how we ought to walk. It reveals your holiness, your standard for us to live there by your commandments, for example. The word is the way I can cleanse my life. Your word strengthens me because this world is the valley of tears. This world is the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil. My rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou art with me. Thou prepares a table before mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Your word tells me all this, shows me all this stuff. How sweet it is. That's why I want to live. That's what the psalmist is saying here. That's what he's praying. He's praying for a bountiful life and abundant life for this reason. Doesn't mean to want to keep, as he says here in verse 17 at the end in our English version, to keep thy word. What does it mean to keep thy word? Well, the word literally means to guard, to observe. It's to be careful over something. It's to watch. When you keep, you're watching His word. You're observing it. You're guarding it with your whole life. That's what it means to keep. And why do we want to serve God and keep and guard His word? Well, the psalmist is not a legalist, as one writer points out, one commentator points out. He's no legalist. He did not want to keep God's word in order to obtain life. Quite the opposite. He wanted life, an abundant life, in order to express it. Is that the way you see yourself day to day in doing the things you do? Even in coming here. Is that why you're so motivated to live? If you find out you're sick, you might die from the something unless someone does something about it. I just want to get better. Why? Why? So I can keep your word and live thereby. That's why I want to get better. Psalmist says here that my soul breaks for longing that it has unto thy judgments. You see, all the time, he says, verse 20, my soul breaks for the longing that is had unto thy judgments at all times. You see, it's not just today. It's not just on the Lord's Day. It's not just a month or a week or a month or anything. It's all the time, day in and day out, every minute of every day. This is my desire. This is my prayer for a bountiful, for an abundant life. And we might say, in Jesus Christ. I'm longing. I'm broken because I want your judgments, Lord. I want your perspective. I want your concern. I want your confrontation in my life. I want it. I long for it. I need it. I don't need man to pat me on the back or to criticize me here about this or that or to show me how right I am or to show me how wrong. I don't need that. What I need is you, Lord, to show me. I break over this. Again, the psalmist is very passionate, I think, in his prayer for this perspective, for this way of life. Such a prayer shows obvious humiliation, doesn't it? Or humbleness, I should say. The psalmist is humbling himself before the Lord. Why? Because he is deaf, dumb, and blind without God in this world. And he knows it. He knows that he's a slave to sin apart from the grace of God that's in, as we say, Jesus Christ. I'm a slave to sin. I don't deserve to live. Right? No one. No matter how young you are, no matter how old, no one deserves to live. Not after what we've done. Not after the way we act. Not after time and time again hearing from God throughout the ages up to the present time and in our lives, Sunday after Sunday in many cases, and still doing the things we do and thinking the way we think. None of us deserves to live a single moment more. Why should I want to live abundantly? So I can sin more? So I can continue my routine? Oh yeah, it's a good life, right? I take care of my family. I take care of the things I have, the possessions. I give a little here, give a little this. So what? Big deal. God doesn't need that. I live to serve you. Declare your word, to learn your judgments, to magnify the name of Jesus Christ in everything I do. And so, you Christian, someone comes up, you know, Peter, you did a good job. You do a good job. I know, because I work for my Lord. No disrespect intended to you, employer, but I work for the Lord. And I'm going to do the best I can do and be the best I can be for him. And you're going to get the benefit. Because I'm going to be the most honest and trustworthy and hardworking employee that you have because I work for the Lord. And you're going to benefit. That's the way I see my life. Psalmist says, is that the way you see yours? I think we forget. I think we forget who we are, what we have become in Christ, what we would be if without him. Sin is all. And so it's very important that we consider in humility this prayer, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep your word. That's what I want to do. Every way. You give me so many opportunities to do it. And I fail. Brings sadness to my heart that I do that. I fail. But I do. Lord, deal bountifully with me. Give me the abundant life so that I may serve you more. I need to keep that in mind. Because I'm so prone to forget. He says also here, open thou, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now you see, we have more than... Now when the psalmist refers to the law, he's referring to the entire revelation at that point, not just the Ten Commandments, although the Ten Commandments, how broad they are, right? I mean, we don't want to hear how broad the commandments are yet. Read the Larger Catechism, Commandments 1 through 10, and read how broad they are. I don't want to hear all that because it confronts me. It tells me how long a way I have to go to be sanctified through holy living. So I don't want to even see that much. But But no, he's talking about the revelation up to that point. And of course, we're talking about the whole word from Genesis to Revelation. I want to open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy. Have you ever read a scripture and all of a sudden, well, one day you read the scripture and then maybe a week, 2 weeks, maybe a year later, you read the same scripture and it hits you in a different way? Has that ever happened to you? Oh, I didn't even see that. See, that's what the psalmist is saying here. Open thou mine eyes because I'm blind to seeing wonderful things in your word. The magnificence of it. The connections, all the connections to it. When Jesus heals the blind man. What does that mean? That Jesus is God, that he can do such a thing, that doctors today can't do that. They wish they could, of course, but they can't. No one can do. But it means much more than that. There's so much more connection there. And I just don't see it all. Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things. Because by nature, I don't understand your word. And I pass it by and there's just so many things that are there I miss. Right? That's what he's praying here. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things out of your word. How magnificent it really is. I know I'm missing a whole lot. I know I'm missing a whole lot. And so that prayer is uppermost as well in the mind of the psalmist. And of course, it speaks to humility, that by nature I can't see it. I can't see the wonderful things, all the connections there are, and how it relates to my life and in this world and the lives of others that I love. But I want to. But how am I going to do that unless I pray like the psalmist? I really mean it. And I'm humble. He goes on in verse 19 to say, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Oh, because he, you know, again, an aspect of the humility of the psalmist here is that he's calling himself a servant, right? He's saying that I'm blind without you, Lord. You know, I can't see anything. I'm in darkness unless you... Oh, open my eyes to see wondrous things. And I'm a stranger in this world. I don't belong here. I'm out of sorts now. So, you know, there's this humbleness about the psalmist. I don't belong anymore. I'm not part of this place. You feel like that? Being a Christian, you're just not on the same page with everyone else. I know I feel that way. They just don't think like I do anymore. Not like I do, but like God says I should think, right? It's just not thinking that. They're not talking about the things of God. They're not explaining things properly. They have some semblance of morality, but no morality at all because they deny Jesus Christ, whom God sent to save the world from sin. And they deny it. It's not important. Well, some say it's important. Some say I believe in Jesus, but they don't care. They don't go to church where the gospel is preached. They don't serve the Lord. They don't pray like the psalmist is praying on a daily basis. They don't ask for abundant life so that they might keep his word. They're asking for health and wealth and immortality, even for themselves or some other reason. I want to, you know, I'm a stranger in this earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, because if you do, I'm going to be lost. I don't want anything hidden from me, Lord, but reveal it all to me, because this is not my place anymore. It's just not. I'm in it, but I'm no longer of it. I believe that, Lord, although, Lord Jesus, I'm in the world, but not of the world. Sometimes I'm confused. Must confess. Open thou mine eyes that I may see wondrous things that you have done for me. And then here, look at this. I already mentioned verse 20. I'm going to skip down to verse 21 because, well, they go together. My soul breaks for longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt that I have kept thy testimonies. You see, what's happening is that the emphasis is on the not being part of this world anymore. This is not really my place. I'm rebuked. I'm cursed by the proud of this earth. They have reproach for me and contempt. You know what reproach means? Have you ever reproached someone? Have reproach for someone? What does that mean? Disapproval. You disapprove of me? Do I disapprove of you? That's reproach. I don't think he should serve as an elder. Or in my case, I don't think he should serve as the pastor. I think he should do something else or nothing at all. That's reproach. It's disapproval. Contempt is worse. You know what contempt is? Contempt is what a lot of people in this society in which we live, in this culture that we're in today, contempt is what people have for the President of the United States because they think he's useless. That's what contempt is. To hold someone in contempt is to say, in other words, you're useless. You're worth nothing. Less than nothing. That's contempt. Have contempt for anyone? But that's what this world is full of. Reproach and contempt. And they're proud of it. Proud of it. Impeach. It's useless. Despicable. You know? The despicable ones. There's one politician called us who cling to our Bibles and our guns. That's what the psalmist is saying, that the proud do, who err from thy commandments. Don't bow the knee. They have reproach, disapproval, and worse, contempt for others. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to do it. We don't want to have reproach or contempt even towards the unbelievers. Our desire is for them to be saved, right? Especially among our circle of family, friends, and neighbors and such. We don't have contempt for anyone. God forbid. Worthless. That's why it's so disgusting to hear some of these people talking on the television and over the radio. I can't listen. It's worse than watching a bad movie. It's real. Have such reproach and contempt. And that's what they had to the psalmist. And he's saying, my heart's breaking. I need your strength. I need to for you to deal bountifully with me, to give me the abundant life so that I may keep you, Lord. Because if it wasn't for you, Lord, if it wasn't for the answer to my prayer, I would sink. I would sink in despair. I would feel so terrible about myself. I would come over to the other side, the dark side, if you will, because I just want them to stop. There's a lot of reproach and contempt out there for you, Christian, if you truly believe. There's a lot of it. And without the prayer that the psalmist prays, making it your own, you're gonna buckle. Who wouldn't? But if your motivation in life is to be for the Lord to deal bountifully, give me health, give me strength, give me what I need, O Lord, the portion of thy daily bread, and even beyond, so that I may keep your word, so that I may proclaim the praises of him with whom I have to do, Jesus Christ. And the prayer is answered, right? It's answered because the psalmist is praying it. You know, God answers, Isaiah says, God answers our prayers while the prayer is yet on our lips. It's not even out of our lips. He answers our prayers already. He hears us. Do you have a heart for this? Like the psalmist said, you have a heart to pray like this. God will answer it before you even ask Him or verbalize it. And the psalmist is declaring that because he's desiring a bountiful life so that he can keep his word. He wants to keep his word in spite of the reproach, in spite of the contempt, in spite of the pride, in spite of the resistance. He wants to do it. So the prayer is being answered as he speaks. He wants to love the Lord. He wants to see the wondrous things that are in His Word. He wants more of it, not less of it. You know, keep it away. He wants more of it and more of it so that he can live according to it and live that abundant life. And so the answer to this prayer is already in the psalm. And the psalmist knows that. As I pray, my desire grows for you more. You're already answering the prayer. God answers our prayers, as is said, even before we know what to ask for. When we have groans that we can't express in words, but groan our existence or our trouble, the Holy Spirit prays for us, perfects it. Just a wonderful thing to believe this stuff, to be a Christian, to have and to hold this, to expose ourselves more and more to His Word. It's truly, in this world, living the abundant life. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers so many times before and continuing to answer them. But we have to pray like the psalmist prays, right? We have to learn this this prayer. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. That's my motivation for life today, tomorrow, and the next. What a way to live, Lord, in prayer and constant desire to keep your word, to express it well before others. Forgive us our sins, Lord, and strengthen us within according, yes, to your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 640. 640. Let's rise up to sing this hymn, 640.